Stay with us now for Martha's conversation with Dr. Giovanna Scarell about photons.
I don't understand physics at all. So let me just say that Jefferson Lab in Newport News is a very big scientific deal and leave it at that. According to solid-state physicist Giovanna Scarell, my next guest, JLab is a research and development facility for a world-class photon source that is looking to also become a user facility. Giovanna, who's been at JMU for 3 years and is fascinated by photons, is about to host a conference at JMU designed to make people aware of the existence of this important photon source and its enormous scientific potential. And in the process, she herself has grown and changed professionally.
Personally, I know one of the scientists at Jefferson Lab. His name is Gwynne Williams, and he will be present at the workshop. So one day, we were discussing about proposals, and he said, Giovanna, what do you think about organizing a workshop where we can illustrate the big potential of a photon source? And at the beginning I thought, well, interesting, but why are you asking me? I am an assistant professor. I am no one. I am, let's say, struggling to survive. But I didn't say no. I went back to my university. I talked to my department head and I told him, what do you think about this? And he said, okay, let's try to talk to the people at the university that can allow you to do that, because alone I cannot do it. And to my surprise, the answer was yes. And then slowly, slowly, in 9 months, more or less, we were able to put together a very nice program.
Your eyes sparkle when you talk about this conference. This is exciting for you, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, yes.
Now, what's exciting about it?
First of all, from the personal point of view, I am surprised how sometimes big changes in life are not a plan. You know, I could have said no. I could have hidden myself thinking, I am no one. Why are you asking me? I have already many responsibilities. Why? But I decided to say yes. So it is incredible to see after a couple of months, it is exactly what I needed, because this put me in contact with many, many people. I made many connections at other universities, but also, for me, accepting the idea of the photon source made me change the way I write proposals.
In what way?
In what way? You know, I have a small laboratory, actually very nice. I can do many things. With the source of photons, which is a very small one with limited capabilities, but still I can do something. And I never thought about maybe I can improve my experiment with a free electron laser where I can tune the frequency, where I can pulse the signal instead of continuously shine radiation on the sample. I didn't think of all this. But if one day when I stopped and I thought, maybe my experiment will be even more exciting, I can probe something even more specific in my samples. So in one day, the day of that meeting, the famous meeting in June, the idea of a proposal changed 360 degrees.
Yes. All right. Let's go back to you and this romance with photons. You're from Italy.
Yes.
Okay. When did you meet a photon for the first time?
That's another very interesting question from the personal point of view, which goes back to the following. Why am I a physicist? Mm-hmm. So when I was in middle school, I was 10, 11, and in the backyard of my house and looking up in the sky and finding the stars, I fell in love with the stars. So I wanted to become an astronomer. So when I went to high school, I followed the scientific gymnasium. And when I started the university, I decided physics without any discussion. There was no problem with that. I was very sure.
It's never occurred to me to be a physicist. What was the attraction?
I would say it is not the fascination of looking at the formula like Einstein formula, E is equal to CM to the second power. No, it's not that. But I think the stars have a special beauty. If you look at them, you see something beautiful, something mysterious, something infinite, that no matter what, but it opens to you many infinite questions. And right now, unfortunately, I don't have the translation in English, but when I fell in love with the star, something accompanied my falling in love, which was poetry. There is an Italian poet whose name is Giacomo Leopardi. He's very famous. I think after Dante, Dante Alighieri. He is the second best Italian poet. There is a piece in one of the many poems where he describes a shepherd in Asia. I mean, think of this guy, an Italian guy in the beauty of Italian cities, thinking of a shepherd in Asia where you have big spaces. Mm-hmm. And so he is there at night with his sheep. And at a certain point of his night, he starts a dialogue with the moon and the star. Hmm. And explicitly in this poem, which is beautiful, I know it by heart in Italian, he really looks at them and asks them about what is the meaning of everything. So the fascination is this ability of the infinity of the sky and the stars to open these infinite questions. And I have to say, among my classmates, many, many people started like this. And then, you know, many things happened. Many people went forth. Some people did other things. Some people were frustrated because it is difficult. But many people started like this.
You are now, you've got a doctorate, you've had a postdoctorate, you're teaching, you're giving conferences. But what most excites you is research.
Yes. Right?
Am I correct
yes.
about that? When I think of research, I think of questions
yes.
that really tickle you and drive
yes.
you forward, intrigue you. What? Give me an example of a couple of questions, put in very plain English, that you want to answer.
Okay. Well, first of all, there is something even deeper in this. Doing research is not easy.
No.
Many times people find themselves doing research, but many times following the red thread designed by other people. And this happens certainly when you are a graduate student, certainly when you are a postdoc. And this is all good because you need to learn. And it is good that you are in a path that someone else has established for you. Also because very likely there are fundings there and you can survive while you do this. You know, we need to survive.
Yes, we do, don't
yes.
we?
Now, something that fascinated me, I was a student and I was in Minnesota at that time. I was working in a big collaboration between Italy, between Minnesota, between Switzerland, everything. And I was working on this particular project. I was the hand of the experiment. I was really doing the detail. But I was fascinated. How is it possible in the whole universe that some guy came up with the question, how can you change the band structure of a semiconductor by changing surface reconstruction? How is it possible that a guy came up with this idea? And I said, I want to be the one who invents this genius idea. I want to be the one.
You want to have the idea.
Exactly. When I went to Italy for my first postdoc, and then I have been a researcher in Italy for a couple of years, I worked in a field which is became explosively important in the whole world. The field is finding an oxide with high dielectric constant that can substitute silicon oxide in our normal devices. The idea behind the high dielectric constant oxide is genius. It's very simple, but genius. I think the guy who came up with this idea should win the Nobel Prize. Okay, now, pro and cons. I tell you, I did a lot of nice work, but I was not happy because I was not the one who got the idea of the high K dielectric constant. So I managed to come back to the U.S. as a postdoc. I went to North Carolina State University. And there, it was a very tricky situation because I was working in a very, let's say, important group in the field of atomic layer deposition. So my professor there is very important professor. So I was very fortunate to work with him. And I worked with him for a couple of years. But the challenge immediately there was, Giovanna, you are here as a postdoc for 1, 2 years, 3 years maximum. You have to start thinking what you want to do when you are a faculty member. This is what I wanted. I want to be challenged to find my idea.
Do you feel that at JMU?
Yes. Everything started when I was already in North Carolina. But of course, in North Carolina, I was unable to put it into practice because my primary duty was to work with Professor Gregory Parsons at mm-hmm. North Carolina State University. And so one day I was working with him and on a Friday, I had to take a plane from Raleigh to New York. And I was in the plane and, you know, he told me, Giovanna, it's time for you to start thinking about writing a paper on this. And I went on the plane. I had the data with me. And at a certain point, I jumped on the chair of the plane. I think even the plane bumped. I remember that so clearly that I remember even the date. It was October 7, 2007. What happened there? I understood the idea that now, slowly, slowly, I'm trying to put into practice.
You have your idea.
Exactly. But it was not clear. I mean, there is was only a small intuition.
Yes.
If you like, we can go a little bit more in detail of this idea.
Sure. Oh, please.
Let's see. Going into the scientific details is maybe a little bit tricky. Okay. But the goal of this idea is to capture infrared radiation and transform it into electricity. So, you know, now everybody talks about photovoltaic cells that capture the visible portion of the solar light. Mm-hmm. And what do photovoltaic cells do? They transform that light into electricity. And you can power up your computer, your all your appliances at home and many other things. But solar light is made out of other components. One of them is infrared. But infrared radiation is also present from other sources. For example, if you go next to a furnace, a very hot furnace, for example, the one that is used by in a steel mill, for example, that also produces infrared radiation. Why simply waste it? Why can't you collect that radiation and transform it into usable electricity? Okay, so this is the idea. This is the idea. How can we do that? How can we do that? First of all, a way to transform radiation into electricity is to make the hypothesis that when radiation interacts with a material, for example, a crystal, it produces heat. If you have heat and you can confine this heat on a thermoelectric device by a phenomenon called Seebeck effect can transform a temperature difference into electricity. So this is what we use, okay? What we use to transform radiation into electricity. So this is the big picture. Now, everything, the new discoveries that now I'm doing even beyond my expectation are all in the interaction between the infrared radiation and the thermoelectric device and whatever is placed between the radiation and the device.
Can you patent this idea? Do you feel ownership of it? What are you going to do if somebody else
That's
has...
That's another very interesting question. You know what? I have tried to patent. And 1 year ago, I was told that it is impossible. And you know why?
Why?
Because since I arrived at JMU, I started writing proposals to get grant money.
Yes.
And I wrote many proposals. But because I have written so many proposals... for at that time was 2 years, I cannot patent the idea because the idea is known, at least because the reviewers read it. And so there is a time limitation. If the idea is going around publicly, you know, after all, a review process is public and I didn't take any precaution before. So I cannot patent it for this reason. Now, there is an advantage, I would say. There are many things that are taking place which I could still patent according to what the lawyer told me last year. But if I patent them, I don't have the freedom to publish. And at this point, I want to be free to publish.
But it will always be your idea.
At this point, yes, because right now I have a paper published with my name. And so we are first. There is no discussion on this.
Woohoo.
Right now, I have 3 more papers under writing.
How many hours a day are you thinking, working, breathing?
Well,
physics.
If you really want to be, I have to be honest, I have to work a lot because in addition to do research, I have to prepare classes. I have many other things. I do experiments and many times my experiment lasts very late. So most of this time I am there doing what I have to do, you know, also interacting with colleagues, with the people of the workshop and so on and so on and so on. If I have to be honest, the most productive time is not the time I am at work. The most productive time where I really have ideas is when I wash dishes, when I iron, when I cook.
You'll find a link to the poem Giovanna referred to, Leopardi's Night Song of a Wandering Shepherd, on the Spark page at WMRA.org. Where you'll also be able to hear Giovanna explain photons in language that even I, the queen of the right brains, can understand.